And welcome to this bonus episode of the EMJ podcast, which is part of a series entitled The Current Status of Anti-TNF Therapies for Inflammatory Bowel Disease, supported by Viatris. I am Dr. Hannah Moyer, a senior medical writer and moderator for EMJ. And today I am welcoming back two experts from gastroenterology to talk about working with those living with inflammatory bowel disease. We're joined again by Dr. Yamila Zabana and Dr. Shubha Bhatt. So thank you again for coming back today. In this episode of the series, we're going to consider the impact of switching to adalimumab biosimilars for ulcerative colitis. In a previous episode, we talked about how biosimilars play an important role in treating inflammatory bowel disease. So let's take a closer look at when we're switching. And Yamila, when is it recommended to switch to things like adalimumab for ulcerative colitis, and what factors influence this decision?
As we talked before, the guidelines suggest that if the patient is under remission, we could consider switching the drug to biosimilar. However, especially in Spain, this is something that I know very well, is that it depends on the center politics. For example, in Spain, at the beginning of the arrival of biosimilars, a lot of hospitals force the introduction of biosimilars by forcing us to switch everyone. So it depends on the center. Fortunately, in my center, they say, okay, if the patient is in remission, consider if you would like to have the patient switch into the drug. So we talked to the patients, and the patients had to consent at the beginning. So now that we know that the biosimilars are completely the same as the originator molecule, we are switching the patient, no problem at all now. So taking into account that we know about infliximab switching, which is, as I told before, the first biosimilar, now we know that we can do the same with adalimumab. So if it's in remission, switch it, no problem. And for any new treatment, this is what we do in Spain, for any new treatment, the normal procedure is to start on a biosimilar. So we are not doing much switching nowadays. It's everything is biosimilar as a new drug. So I normally tell my patients that the drug will be the same, so that it's the same efficacy, the same safety profile as we all mentioned. So we even have evidence with multi-switching.
And with your patients, have you ever noticed any hesitancy or reluctance when biosimilars are mentioned? Or is it, you know, the things they might read on the internet, for example?
No, it depends on how you talk to your patients. And if you tell them and you show them evidence that they are the same, They will see it like I'm buying omeprazole from this brand or this brand or this brand, which is more or less the idea of the biosimilar. So although I have just mentioned the multi-switching, I don't think it's a good idea, because I think you should stay in one biosimilar if it's possible. And they know that it's the same. So I don't have any problem switching my patient. At the beginning, the problem was that I was not a believer in biosimilars. Not only me, all of us. So now that we have the experience, so and the patient will feel that you're a believer and that you have experience on that. So there's no problem at all nowadays.
And Shubha, as a clinical pharmacist, I'm guessing you play quite a close role with counselling patients. Are there any kind of tips or tricks around or advice you provide about providing that information for those that might be concerned about switching to a biosimilar?
Yeah, so I think it's important to acknowledge that patients with IBD are going to be concerned about switching from a originator to a biosimilar, because they have misperceptions that they're going to start to flare, they fear that their disease is going to worsen, they might have adverse effects, and they just fear that biosimilars are overall inferior products. So I think it's important to review the data with them that, you know, biosimilar use in IBD does not necessarily translate to these concerns. So similar to what Yamila had kind of mentioned, like, I will educate about the biosimilar definition, the reason for what the benefits are with these treatments, and why we are switching, and essentially that is to maintain the same therapeutic benefit, but at a way lower cost. And I also find it useful to reinforce that, you know, the same monitoring and follow-up is going to be there, And I think that further drives home the point that they shouldn't really expect any major changes with the transition to a biosimilar. One particular challenge, though, we utilize like generic Sera a lot, and so patients are really comfortable and they know that term. But technically, a biosimilar is not a generic, and because that's more of the molecular complexity, that's also designed around the manufacturing process. So my favorite way to really simplify this for patients is to explain that like a small molecule, like acetaminophen, it's like a simple rowboat. So you can easily build a rowboat, you can easily replicate that, no problem. Like that's a really easy task to do. But a biosimilar is actually like a cruise ship. So that's huge, they're big, they've got a ton of detail, they're really elaborate. And so that's kind of what a biosimilar is like. And like despite the cruise ship being complex, we know that there's several cruise lines that are available, but they all do the same functionality. They're gonna sail on the sea, they're gonna get you to your intended destination, and they're gonna provide the same experiences. So I think having that analogy kind of like really helps simplify for the patients that, hey, at the end of the day, the only real big difference is that I'm talking about a much larger molecule that just cannot be directly copied, but they still undergo robust Q&A process. They're still the same active ingredient at the end of the day, and so that's really going to help. And I think I would just like to add, I really wish that providers, at least here in the States, we are so reliant on brand names, and that doesn't help. So rather than honestly saying the brand name, we should be referring by the product, by its actual active ingredient. And I think then when the patients have to switch to a biosimilar, it's not a shock because all they just see is that four extra letter, but they don't mean anything. It's just the naming structure to help keep these products separate. But at the end of the day, you're still on the same active medicine, and that's what matters the most.
This is what we do, and I will buy your analogy, Shubha, for my patients because I really like that, which is much more close to reality than another kind of drug. Yeah.
And I guess when people are trying to compare the rowboat to the cruise ship, are there differences in storage and handling instructions when we talk about anti-TNF biosimilars? Is there any myth, dispel any of those myths that might be out there?
So this question is actually more applicable to adalimumab biosimilars, so I will focus on that. But all the adalimumab biosimilars need to be kept refrigerated and warmed up to room temperature before the patient does the administration. However, there are notable differences within the adalimumab biosimilar product compared to the originator product. For example, the biosimilar pen will look different from the originator product, and there's actually some differences in the injection process. But in my opinion, the administration of a biosimilar product is actually easier compared to the originator product. And then there's actually variations among the biosimilar products in regards to stability. So once these products are exposed to room temperature, some adalimumab biosimilars are actually stable for only 14 days, and there's others that might be stable for 28 or 30 days. For the disposal directions, it's the same. So all used devices should be disposed of in the same way in a shipping container.
So taking your cruise ship analogy, I'm taking the key message when we're considering switching and considering biosimilars is as long as we understand the instructions of the cruise, we know what we're going into, we're prepared for that cruise, we've got the right duration that we're going for. Is it 14 days up to 30 days? As long as the route's the same way, we're treating IBD, the route's all the same. It doesn't matter which cruise ship you're using. So we should be confident in the use of the biosimilar. Thank you so much for joining me today, both of you. It's been really useful to hear lots of informative bits of details around the use of biosimilars and switching to biosimilars. This was an episode as part of the series, The Current Status of Anti-TNF Therapies for Inflammatory Bowel Disease. So if you enjoyed listening to this episode, you can listen to others, which can be accessed through your preferred podcast platform or by visiting emjreviews.com. So until next time, take care and goodbye for now.